Well, we're privileged this morning to have Paul White with us today, the Gideons. They come occasionally, and I don't want to step on what he's going to say, but the Gideons down through the years have been responsible for placing Bibles in many, many different places throughout the world. Remember when our son Luke went to Florida chasing his fiance, who was lived in Florida, Diane. He started to work for some cabinet makers that were Cuban, two fellows that were Cuban brothers. And they were Gideons. And the first day he went into work, they had a warehouse or a garage that's probably bigger than this room here, full of Bibles to the ceiling. And they were kind of a distribution area down there in South Florida for the Gideons, and they were Gideons. But I wanted to spend, just take a little time this morning in the way of an introduction. You know, we here at Pleasant Grove have tried to instill in everyone the importance of God's Word. We preach, bring the messages, you know, right from Scripture, expository. You all know that we are led by the Spirit and we with His help, decide a book to preach through, and that's what we do. We just think that it's awfully important. I know perhaps some of the young folks maybe wonder why we spend so much time, for example, in the Old Testament, maybe some of the older folks as well. But the Scripture, God's Word, is extremely important. So what I wanted to do this morning, just in the way of introduction for what Paul is going to say for the Gideons, I would like to just try to answer the question just briefly. You know, we could spend months on this. But I've chosen some scripture this morning, and I don't expect you all to flip to each verse that I'm going to read. But I just would like to look this morning briefly at why the Bible is so important. As Christians, why is the Bible so important? Now, when you get an opportunity to share the gospel with someone, the first thing we need to establish the importance of God's Word. If the person you're talking with does not have the Bible at its as its proper role, the absolute truth from God, if they don't view it as this is God speaking to us, if they don't view it that way, you might as well turn around and go have lunch somewhere else, because you're not going to get anywhere. The Bible is the authority that transcends everything else. It's extremely important. For example, why we view it as being flawless. A lot of people go into Scripture and they try to prove the contradictions and so forth. But I just chose a verse in Proverbs. And forgive me, but I'm going to turn to different scriptures here this morning. It might take me a while with my dry fingers. But in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, Solomon said, every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. So the Bible is true. It is actually today the only thing we can count on for sure as being the truth.
Amen.
Flawless. flawless. The Bible also equips us. If we go to Ephesians, we've all read the scriptures concerning the armor of God. The Bible's part of that. Starting in Ephesians 6, verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God. The full armor. Don't leave anything out that's mentioned here. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. You ever view your Bible here as being a sword? The sword of the Spirit. It's part of that armor, full armor that we're to put on each morning when we start our day. The Bible is full of instruction. Full of instruction. How do we know how to be a Christian? What's the proper things we need to be doing? 2 Timothy chapter 3. You've heard these verses, I'm sure. 16 and 17. All scripture. That's Ecclesiastes. It's Genesis. It's Revelation. It's the Gospels. It's the history books. It's the prophets. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We cannot be equipped without God's Word, especially in today's ages. The Bible endures forever. Endures forever. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, 23 to 35, the Apostle Peter says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. Listen to this. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. And it doesn't change, does it?
Amen.
We got a lot of folks out here today that want to kind of change, fudge a little here and there, add a few things here and there, bend things a little to make it fit into their lifestyle. But the Word of God is the Word of God, and it does not change. Next, the Bible gives us the gospel message. The gospel message. How do you know what to share with folks when you want to share the gospel? You can go to the Bible, and you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in three or four verses here, it gives you the gospel message. You can say, look here in the book. It says, for what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You see that? Paul adds that on the end of all of these sentences, according to the scriptures. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, Paul, also as to one abnormally born. There's the gospel message in a nutshell. Now, we can, there are volumes of books written on the gospel, but that's the basis right there of what is the foundation for the gospel. The next thing that the Bible does is it leads us to the cross. And the cross is sorely missing in a lot of the pulpits today across this land. Not much emphasis on the cross. But if we don't have an understanding of the cross, if we don't have an understanding what happened there, what was its purpose, then we have no foundation for our Christian faith. And you can get information about the cross from both the Old Testament and the New. Sometimes you have something stated in the Old Testament about the cross that is fulfilled or discussed more in the New Testament. I'll give you a couple examples. For example, in Psalm 22, now bear in mind the Psalms were written thousands of years ago. But in Psalm 22, I'm just going to read a few of the verses here. Verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Does that ring a bell? When our Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross, bleeding, being crucified, didn't he not say that? Those very words. Verse 7 and 8. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Again, does that not ring a bell? When we go to the Gospels, in the account of the crucifixion, what's actually going on there? Also, verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. And then in 17 and 18, all my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide their clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. You can go right to the Gospels, and that's being fulfilled there when it actually happens. Also, Psalm 31, just one verse. See if this sounds familiar. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. Fulfilled once again in the New Testament. And finally, the Holy Scriptures lead us to the cross. And there's no other passage of Scripture, I don't think, in the Old or the New Testament that talks about the cross and what happened there than in Isaiah 53. Starting in verse 4. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Who is Isaiah speaking about? Jesus. Right. Jesus. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. That's what your cross is all about, wasn't it? The atonement. He suffered there for us. For our sins. For our sins. And over in the last part of verse 12 in 53, it says, "For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Folks, we need to really devote ourselves to the book. We need to devote ourselves to the book. And I would encourage everyone, including myself and Jan, in this as well. Let's devote a part of each day for devotions with the book. Let me just challenge us to do that. Start afresh. If you're not doing it now, I know many of you are. Once had a Bible study with a lady who had eight children, eight young children. And we were in a Bible study, and someone asked her, what sort of devotions did she have time for? And I'll never forget her answer. She said, "You know, right in the middle of the kitchen on the counter, I left my Bible open. And sometime during the day, I would go by there and I would read one verse. And I'd get charged up over that." We need God's word. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Bible. We know that it's you speaking to us. And I just pray, Lord, as we commit to reading it more, studying it more, I just pray that we can gain more reverence for it. And more need for it, and actually put it to use in our lives. It's not enough to read it, but we need to apply it. So we thank you this morning that you speak to us directly, personally, or as a church. And we just thank you that you have opened your throne of grace to each and every person to come individually as need be. And speak with you one-on-one. Thank you for that opportunity. And we just want to pray that Paul you'll lead Paul in what he is to say this morning. We thank you so much for the work that the Gideons do. So important. And we just are so pleased to have him here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I got a long wind.
I have this.
Oh, right. Okay.
Mike, thank you.
You bet. You bet.
And I want to thank everybody for the warm reception we've had this morning. So it really means a lot. As Pastor Mike said, my name's Paul White, and I've been a member of Gideon's International Preston County Camp since 2018. I'd like to open up a word of prayer, if you would. Lord, we thank you for another day that we may gather together in your presence and give you thanks and praise. We ask that you be with these who need your comforting touch and continue with them during their greatest time of need. These things we ask in thy holy name. Amen.
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 Just for a moment, I'd like for you to just think about what it might mean to be a Gideon. normally people think of us as a group of people that's always giving out Bibles. Well, we do give out our share of Bibles, and it's worldwide. But being a Gideon does mean so much more. We have a unique focus. One spirit, one mind, one vision, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. We are God-called members, brothers and sisters in Christ, husbands along with our wives, striving side by side to effectively and joyfully reach the world with the good news. One vision means working in one spirit and one mind with these three groups. Christian business and professional men, our wives is a testimony to the biblical institution of marriage, Protestant evangelical churches and assemblies as partners in the Great Commission. We have a rich history of associating together. The Gideon's International was established in 1899. Our founders realized that Christian men needed to be continually strengthened in their walk with the Lord, and that by standing together in faith, they could accomplish great things for God's kingdom. Those formative years focused on who a man was before God in the strength and power of his personal testimony. Through associating together for service, Gideons challenge each other to strengthen their testimonies for Christ and fulfill their God-given responsibilities as spiritual leaders in their homes and churches. By personally sharing our faith, members realize how often people today need someone to come alongside them in finding their way to true salvation that is available only through the grace of God. As opportunities arise, we take time to share the gospel message with friends and family, business acquaintances, and other people we meet who are struggling in their daily lives. By distributing copies of God's Word, we believe it plants powerful seeds God can use according to His own timing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Allows many to read the truth for themselves. John chapter 8, verse 32. Provides a lasting witness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And makes it easier for those we reach to boldly spread the good news. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Members of the Gideon's International personally witness and distribute God's Word to police, fire, medical personnel, prisoners, military personnel, students in the fifth grade and above, and to those with whom they interact on a daily basis. Scriptures are also placed by Gideon's and auxiliary in key locations, including hotels, motels, hospitals, convalescent homes, medical offices, domestic violence shelters, prisons, and jails. We have been changing lives for more than 100 years. The Gideon's International began distributing the Word of God in 1908. Today, there are more than 269,500 Gideons and auxiliary, and an untold number of supporters in some 200 countries, territories, and possessions across the globe. These dedicated individuals who have given their time and money to make it possible for others to learn about the love of God by giving them access to His Word. We have placed and distributed more than 2 billion Bibles and New Testaments around the world. The Preston County Gideon's Camp currently has over 50 members, including our auxiliary, which is our wives and widows of past members. We meet monthly in Kingwood. We start with a devotional moment, a meal, fellowship, and then we separate for our respective business meetings. We deeply appreciate the donations we see, for 100% goes to purchasing Bibles and New Testaments to be distributed by our members. People may also donate Bibles in memory of loved ones and other occasions through our gift card program. This may be accomplished online or by completing the information on the card and mailing it in. There's also an app that can be downloaded to iPhones. In 2017, a new life book was developed using the Gospel of Mark for distribution to youth and children. Currently, there has been over 48.8 million life books distributed. I also have a frequently asked questions informational page that I will leave with Pastor Mike so that you can look at it at a later time. If anyone would be interested in a personal copy to see me after the service, and I'll get your contact information, make sure you get one. I do thank you very much for your invitation to share in your worship today, and I hope you enjoyed the presentation. Just a little follow-up with the Bible program for the prisons. They really do appreciate that. We used to give out the little testaments that you're probably familiar with that Gideon's mostly give out. They said that they really wanted more of the Word of God, so we started giving them the full Bible. And I think last year, I'm thinking we probably gave them 300 to 500 just here at Hazleton. So, you know, we do actively support that. Would you please join me in a word of prayer again? Lord, be with this church congregation so that they may go out and bring people into your service. Please provide traveling mercies for each of these members as they return home today. These things we ask in thy holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Let's stand and sing our final hymn, 208, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Thank you.
here this morning. Joe, take us to the throne, would you?
Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful fall weather. Thank you if we could come out here freely and worship you and honor you. Thank you for all these things. Please, precious Heavenly Father, send us out this week into your work that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct us to do. Let us be vigilant. Let us be in the Word, the true living Word of God. Thank you most of all for your Son Jesus, who come to earth blameless and sinless so that our sin could be forgiven. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
such
the holy place.
Yeah, he did. New York last night, huh? We were in New York. I think we,
This is the traveling group.
Yeah. It's like 9 o'clock at night, and I said, you've got to find a place to stay. I am hungry. And next thing I know, he's whipping off, and we pull into this Home Depot. There were already several campers set up.
Wow.
Yeah, there was two or three other campers in there that night.
We always say we're going to dinner. Why? We've never done it.
We've done
yeah.
Are you down here?
Rest areas.
Wow.
We see, and you all probably do too, people have their slides out and everything.
We did.
Yeah.
No, we have to. We're getting better.
Yeah.
We do.
So is yours an RV or in a home?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So our father let you say he had a 30-foot commercial, and he let us take it. We were talking here. And it's nice having you let us see how it is.
Yeah.
You got stuff?